Good to see you here. Today is May the 8th, 2022, Mother's Day, special day for you ladies. I want you to turn in your Bibles today. I've got your lesson there. Turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Today we're going to be looking at lesson number 11 out of the series of 13 lessons. The lesson series is entitled From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. And today's lesson is entitled Faithfulness and Apostasy. Faithfulness and Apostasy. Now there is a Bible verse that goes along with the lesson today. A theme verse is the verse that we've chosen for this lesson. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. Where Paul encourages Timothy, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The thought for today, I want you to just take this thought. It's in just one Bible verse. I used the Bible verse this time for the thought on our lesson. And it's found in the book of Psalm chapter 119 verse 11. And this is what the psalmist wrote. He wrote, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, if you'll remember, last Sunday morning, I did not quite finish the lesson. And we were talking about faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth. And last week, we were talking about standing faithful with the truth of the Word of God in areas of controversy and areas of confrontation. We saw last week how that Paul urged Timothy, a young preacher, he urged him to stand faithful in the doctrine and in the position that he had been called to minister in as the pastor there at that church in Ephesus. Especially in light of those who had strayed away from the truth. There were many who had strayed away. They had gotten caught up in the religious themes and doctrines of their day. They had gotten caught up in many things that were not Bible truth. And in 2 Timothy, if you go back one chapter, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, last week, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, he told them, he said, he challenged Timothy, he said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he challenged him to make certain that he allowed the truth of the word of God to be seen in his life from day to day. So that he could and so that he would, through the power of the Word of God that had been hidden in his heart and through the power of the Spirit of God that indwelled his being, to be able to stand and to shun profane and vain babblings, okay? And he reminded Timothy again here. He said, you need to shun these things. You need to study to show thyself approved unto God for one purpose. He said, number one, purpose number one was so that when you stood before God, you wouldn't be ashamed. But number two was because, if you look at that verse, it goes on to say, because they will increase unto more ungodliness. These vain babblings, these profane and vain babblings would increase more and more unto ungodliness. And boy, we have seen that in our world in the last few years. Boy, have we not seen that. And we learned how that all of this would only happen through his diligence to study the Word of God, to hide the Word of God in his heart. And folks, I want to encourage you today, hide the Word of God in your heart. Hide it away. Keep it there so that when the devil does tempt you, and when you hear things that sound questionable, you know how to face it. You know what the truth really is. And you know it from the truth of the Word of God. We saw last Sunday also how that Paul encouraged Timothy to remain faithful, not only in doctrine, but also in his behavior as a child of God. In his behavior. There are a lot of people that name the name of Christ, but they don't live for Christ in their day-to-day walk. They don't do that. We see that in our world today. And if you look down at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19, he reminded Timothy. He said, you know, all of these things are happening in our world, but he said, I want you to remember something, Timothy. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. Aren't you glad today to know that God knows who His children are? Amen. He knows them. He knows those that profess to know Him and are not His, but He knows those of us that do belong to Him. And look what He said. And He said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is a command, it's a choice, and it should be a conviction. The three C's, the command, the choice, and the conviction. When we realize that it is commanded by God to abstain from all appearance of evil, turn away from those things. Listen, Paul talked about it in the book of Romans. He said, you mark those people that cause division among you, and you what? Avoid them. Turn away from them. Stay away from them. And the Bible said here, he said, listen, let every one of you that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's a choice that we have to make, folks. It may look good, it may sound good to the carnal ear, but folks, if the Word of God says it's wrong, then treat it as if it's wrong. I've seen folks that get these snakes and they got them in their aquariums and stuff like that, and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I read a story where a man had a little snake like that, and he kept it in his house, and he got married later on. And that snake got bigger, and he added a great big, I don't know how many, 500-gallon tank, and he put this screen on top of it and a brick on each end of it to hold it down. And then that thing turned probably 12 feet long, I think he said. And later on, they had a little child, and he let that thing, you know, the child see it, think it was all right. And sometime during the night, that thing lifted its head up and took that brick and just pushed it aside and crushed that little child and began to eat it. And I thought, you know what? It all started with just a little thing that just seemed so not harmful to anybody. And then pretty soon, it turns into something big and it destroys the very things that you love. Folks, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, we've got a testimony to uphold for God. And he told him here in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 2, he said, he gave an illustration here. And this is where I stopped off last Sunday. I want to share this with you real quick this morning. He gave an illustration and he said in verses 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and he's talking about those things he talked about in the verses previous to this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He shows there that there are different pieces of furniture in that house. Several of them are great value. Some of them are of lesser value. Some of them are made of gold and silver. Some of them made of earth and ceramic, wood, clay, things like that. But what he's telling Timothy here is that if he will turn away from those things, those sinful things, those vain babblings, those profane things that people are into now, and let his behavior be cleansed from those things of the flesh, he said, which doth, you know, so easily beset us, it talked about there in the book of Hebrews. He said, God can use you for something great. I liken that so many times to a glass. When I get a glass of water at home or a glass of milk, I always check that glass, you know. If you leave the glass of milk sitting out for a little while and it's it's empty. You've drunk it all, but it still leaves a little ring of milk down the bottom of it. It'll settle down in there. If you leave it out too long before you wash it, sometimes that stain doesn't leave. And you know what? If you got a dirty glass, nobody wants to drink out of a dirty glass. Nobody wants to drink out of it. You're still drinking the same cold, smooth glass of chocolate milk or white milk or whatever else, buttermilk, whatever you want to drink, or a nice cold glass of ice water. But nobody wants to take that which is good to their soul, good to their body, and drink it out of a dirty vessel. And you know what? God is looking for some clean vessels today to use for His honor and for His glory. He wants us to keep our vessel clean, holy, sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. And that's what we've got to determine that we're going to do here. He talks about here, basically, he's talking about biblical separation. And folks get all bent out of shape when you talk about separation. Oh, we're going to be one of these cults that we don't do anything, wear a little hat and don't drive gas vehicles and all these things. Listen, that is not what he's talking about. But he's talking about separation from sin so that you can be a set apart for use by God. Listen, when I got married, okay, I practiced separation. I still practice separation. I am separated from anybody else so that I can be separated unto my wife. I'm hers. She's mine. You know, there's nobody getting her and there's nobody getting me. We're taken, okay? And you know what? That's what God wants us to understand today. We belong to Him. The devil's got nothing that he can offer unto us that can draw us to Him so that we can be saved, from sin. The devil's got nothing there to keep us tied down anymore. We've been purchased. We've been bought. We belong to the Lord God. We're His child. And folks, I want you to understand today, separation is setting yourself apart so that you can be used of God. You can be used of God. And Paul told Timothy, he reminded him here, listen, you need to separate yourself unto the Lord. Stay away from those things that will hinder your ministry, your testimony. Okay? Listen, do you think that you would want to hire a bank person, okay, that has been in jail? Now, they've served their time, and that was many years ago, but they robbed the bank, and they stole money from the bank. Do you think a bank is going to hire somebody like that? I doubt it. I very seriously doubt it. Listen, do you think that somebody that is going to be accused of doing something that they actually did is going to be hired to do a job that entails them doing that particular thing? No. And it should be the same way with us and God. Listen, if we're going to get out and cuss during the week and fuss and use bad language and all these other things, God's not going to be very easily prone to use us to go out and do things for Him. And that's why we separate ourselves from those things so that we can be separated unto the Lord for His use. Does that make sense to you? We do that so that God can be able to use us. It's a biblical command. Then he talks about, not only with this illustration, he talks about actions. He talked about actions. In verse 22, look at it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He challenged Timothy now in your actions to flee from youthful lusts. Now, and what he's speaking about here is someone that is unlearned, unexperienced. Okay? If people, I remember when I was a little boy, my mom and dad, we lived in a little trailer park. And there was a little boy that lived in the trailer park with us, and he was mentally challenged. Okay? He was a little slow. And there were other bigger boys in the trailer park that always picked on him. And one of the bigger boys one day was trying to get him to do bad things. And he would do it and not realize it was bad, and then he would get in trouble. And the other boys would just laugh at him and laugh at him. One day, one of the bigger boys took a dime, I think it was a dime, and told him, he said, do you want the dime? Yeah. Well, if you want it, go get it. And he threw it on the ground and made him go after it. And when the little boy took it, the bigger guy took it away from him and said, you still want that dime? Well, yeah. He said, well, then go get it. And he threw it out into the street. And a car hit that little boy. And he died. Now, listen to me. I remember that. I'll never forget that. And I remember my mom and dad telling me, you stay away from those boys. You stay away from them. Listen, that little boy did not know that he was going to get himself in trouble. He didn't know. He was unlearned. He didn't know. But you know what? In the same manner, the devil does the same thing to you and to me today. If we don't stay in the book and know what the devil's game plan is, if we're not learned in the things of God, we get suckered into doing anything that looks good and that everybody else seems to be doing. And so Paul tells Timothy, he said, you need to flee youthful lusts. That word flee means to run away from a danger or an evil event so as to find a place of rest and security. You flee from sin to find a safe place to be away from it. And that's what he's reminding him here. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, you need to associate yourselves with those folks that have a pure heart. You need to be with those, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Folks, we need to be careful who we associate ourselves with. We need to be careful about that. That's why it's important. Be in the house of God. Don't skip church to go to some stupid concert, okay? That's not church. Don't skip church to just be skipping church. You need to be in the house of God. You remember the play we just did in Living Cross? Why was Thomas so messed up with this thing about the risen Savior? It's because he wasn't where he ought to be when he should have been there. And you know what? We get tired in this body. Man, let me tell you, we get tired. You get tired. Everybody gets tired, especially during revival time. I've already heard folks say, well, I'm not going to that revival this week. I've got too many other things going on. Folks, don't let God hear you say that. I'm so glad that God doesn't take a vacation, aren't you? If he should take a vacation and do like we do with God, when we go on vacation, well, we would be in a mess of trouble from the devil. He'd be there to destroy us in a heartbeat. But listen, take time. Be with them that call on the Lord. Be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I am praying that God will stir my heart. For the last 2 years, man, this has been a long 2 years with this COVID stuff and all the things going around. And you know, I still battle some of this after effects stuff with this COVID stuff. My brain doesn't function, I think, sometimes like I ought to. I know what I want to say and I just can't get it out. And then I get tired real easy, it seemed like, still. I get so tired. I fight this thing with my breathing. The other night, I was in bed, and I told my wife, I said, I got to get up. I got to go find another place to sleep. I just couldn't breathe. I can't lay down flat. I still can't lay down flat and breathe. And you know what? It frustrates me. I get so frustrated with that. And some of you going through the same type things. You've got other things that are going on in your life. Don't let the devil use those things to keep you away from serving God. Making yourself available unto God. Hang out with the right people. Shine while there's an opportunity to shine for the Lord. Yesterday, I got the call as we were picking up Brother Hamlin and one of my friends down in North Carolina, down at Grace Baptist Church. They started the Fundamental Broadcasting Network, the radio station, the Fundamental Broadcasting Network, FBN. And Brother Clyde Ebern there at that church been faithful doing this since the early, late 80s, I guess it was. Good conservative Christian music, good preaching, fundamental Bible preaching. And Brother Ebern passed away yesterday. He passed away. And I'm going to guess he was probably in his upper 80s, close to 90. And Brother Dwayne, his nephew, texted me. He's the manager of the radio station there. Texted me. Another saint's gone home. Another saint's gone home. Folks, listen, shine while you can shine. We don't know how much longer we've got on this earth to shine for Jesus. Let's shine as a bright light. And then he talked about faithfulness in controversy. Look at verse 23. He said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. What is he doing here? How does one avoid such things like this? First of all, you need to elude foolishness. Stay away from it. Dodge it. You know things are foolish. Questions that get asked about things. My wife was being asked about some questions this past week. And she knew what they were trying to do. They're trying to stir her up. They're trying to get her all stirred up about this stuff. And they just kept going on with it, going on with it. And they saw that she wasn't going along with what they were talking about. And one of the ladies finally left the office. They went home. She only works part-time. But she said she's a Christian. And she said when she got home, it started bothering her. And she called the office there where my wife was at. She's the secretary, receptionist. She answered the phone, and this lady apologized to her. She said, I want to apologize. Amen. Because she said, you know, I know that you don't stand for things like that. Amen. And she said, we were trying to kind of put you on the spot, and you didn't do that. She said, I just want to apologize because I know that you love the Lord. And she said, I don't want to do that again. Will you still be my friend? Well, of course. But through this, it gave my wife the opportunity to share the gospel with one of the other ladies. And she was able to give her a little gospel booklet that describes and tells about salvation. And the lady took it. And she took it for the weekend. And we're praying that maybe when she comes in on Monday, she'll be able to talk to her again about it. But through controversy, don't let these things gender strife, where you get in a fist fight with somebody and you say, well, I'm going to tell you what I think. Just tell them what God's Word says. Amen. Listen, when you tell them what God's Word says, that's gonna stop it right there. Well, they're not going to want to talk to you anymore because all they do is preach the Bible. Well, yeah, that's a good thing. Amen. You can elude controversy by avoiding foolish questions. And then you need to educate fools. You need to educate fools. The world is full of foolishness today. It's full of just foolishness. And Paul talks about here how that we are supposed to be faithful to God while at the same time we're facing foolish questions. We've got to be wise about how we respond in those things. How do you do that? We're to understand, first of all, that God's Word provides us with a method to follow. God's Word provides us with a method to follow. You say, well, what does it say? Well, look at verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth. In other words, we simply need to ask them, what does the Bible say? And that's what the question was. It came back to my wife this week. And she was able to share with them this issue that they were talking about. This is what the Bible says. And as Christians, we're to obey what the Word of God said. So the methods are shown through the Word of God. There's a manner also to display. Look at verse 24. He said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You know what? Tribulation worketh patience, does it not? And boy, the devil will surely send tribulation your way through controversy, through things that the world thinks is just, this is the way it ought to be. The new norm, they call it, okay? But folks, you and I have the truth. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be apt and ready to teach these folks. This is what the Bible says. This is why. Listen, that's why when we lead somebody to Christ, we show them from the Word of God, this is why. Now that you've been saved, the Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This is why we go to church. We let folks know we're not ashamed of the Lord. This is why we read the Word of God, so that we can learn more about living for God. This is why we pray for those folks that are mean and cruel and hurt us. And we pray for them more often than we did before, because we want them too to be saved. This is why we give to the ministry. This is why we do all that we do, so that folks can know there's a manner that needs to be displayed. He said, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You say, but why, Brother Ray? Why do I need to do that stuff? Well, there's a purpose for confrontation. Look at it. Verse number 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Folks, our goal as Christians is not to embarrass somebody else, though the truth may embarrass them. Our goal in giving out the gospel is not to hurt somebody. It's not to cause them to feel lesser than anybody else, make ourselves look so good and them look so bad. No, because we're all sinners saved by grace, if you're saved at all. Okay? But the Bible said here, God gives us an opportunity to give them the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit of God can bring conviction of sin from God, and they can see their need of repentance and call on the Lord to save them. Why? Verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You know what? There are a lot of Christians today that are not being used of God like they used to be used, because they got tied up in other things. They've let other things distract them from the main thing that they used to do. And they need to recover themselves as well. Listen, we as Christians need to help them, encourage them. Folks, according to Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, the Bible said, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. There's not the will. It's not the will of God that anybody should perish, die without hope. Nobody, whether they be little in stature or big in stature, whether they be, you know, a high school student or a college professor. God wants them all to be saved. And this is why we need to get into the book. This is why we need to see how God sees things. And we cover it from the Word of God. And all this then leads into our lesson today. Faithfulness and apostasy. Apostasy is that turning away from known truth unto something that is not true. Listen, we need to be identified as one that has been faithful. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Word of God. Continue thou, he said in our theme verse from chapter 3, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want you to notice in that verse, Paul did not tell Timothy to start being faithful in the ministry, but he challenged him to continue to be faithful. Continue. Listen, you folks are faithful. You folks have been faithful to love the Lord during the COVID. You've been faithful to pray for one another. Those that have been sick, we've had folks that have died from our class. You've been faithful to encourage and strengthen them. But I want to challenge you today, don't let the things of this world cause you not to do that or to stray away from that, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them, learned them. Look what he said. Paul, he warned Timothy of the reprobates. And that's a big word, but it talks about folks that have turned away from God. And he said, I want you to understand how you're going to know these folks. Here's how you know them. Look at it. Number one, by their character. The character and deeds of these reprobates. Look at verses 1 through 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, this know also, that in the last days. Now, you know what? We've been in the last days evidently about 2,000 years. But he said that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And look at what he said. He said, for men shall become lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He gives the description, then he gives the command. Look what he says. From such, turn away. And then I want you to scroll down to verse number 8 just a minute. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, there's no other place in the Bible that talks about these two men, Jannes and Jambres, but it is taught in the Jewish religion that Paul is talking about those two servants of Pharaoh that stood in the court when Moses stood there. And the Bible said, if you turn over to the book of Exodus chapter 7, just a minute, I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 7. These two men were supposed to have been two of the magicians that worked for Pharaoh. And in Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, the Bible said, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded them. And Aaron cast down his rod before Moses and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. These men openly opposed the miracles of God. There are men and women today in our society that are openly opposing all that God wants to do. Everything. And folks, the first five verses of this chapter describe their character. First of all, I want you to understand what a reprobate truly is. A reprobate is someone described as being unprincipled, depraved, a scoundrel, a rogue, one who is morally corrupt and vile in thoughts, actions, and or deeds. Man, our whole political world's like that today. Man, our society has turned that way today. Reprobate, unable, they have resisted the truth for so long that they don't know the difference now between right and wrong. They cannot distinguish the difference. And look what he said here in verse 1. They are lovers of their own selves, meaning they care for themselves and for what pleases them more than they care for anyone else, including God. That's what we're seeing today. Whatever pleases the flesh satisfies their own selfish lusts and carnal desires. That's what he's talking about. Then he says that they're covetous, meaning that they are marked with an inordinate and insatiable desire for things, for wealth, and for other men's possessions. They want what everybody else has got. Hey, listen, that's not the way that we as Christians are supposed to be. These things are temporal. I watch folks, listen, I've seen people die that have a lot of things. And when they die, they're not buried with them. Somebody else is going to get it. Somebody else is going to fuss about it. Somebody else is going to say, well, I didn't get as much as they did. And they sue one another, okay? My wife sees this all the time in the law office. Oh, my soul. Things are not what it counts today, folks. We need to be laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust did not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. But these folks are just scoundrels. They're covetous. Then the Bible said that they're proud, which describes the very character of Satan. They're boasters. They brag and they attempt to elevate themselves above all people and things. This is what Satan did. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was Satan's desire. A boaster, proud. Then he said they're blasphemers, meaning they have no respect whatsoever for God, for God's laws, for God's word, or anything that is moral and upright. And they know it. And listen, each of these things leads to another level of sinfulness. Look what happens. It turns blasphemers into disobedient to parents. When you have no respect for God and no respect for God's authority, then you have no respect for the authority that's over you on this earth. And that's why we have disobedience to parents. Unthankful. Which then leads to one being unholy. They've got no respect, they don't have any honor or reverence for anybody, including God, or anybody that tries to help them to help themselves. They don't have it. Without natural affection. Listen, folks, even a dog will lick your hand if you just love it and feed it a little something. Amen? My dog will love me to death when I feed her, take her out, go to the bathroom. But not these folks. They're without natural affection. They want to kill their babies instead of keep their babies. Okay? They want to yoke up men with men and women with women. And now, people, humans with animals, and all make it legal. Legal. God help us. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. You can't trust them. False accusers. You can't believe them. Listen, they're going to accuse everybody else of doing wrong while they themselves are doing wrong and trying to make what they're doing wrong to be right. We're seeing that today, folks. We're living in these last days. Then he writes and says that they're incontinent. Now, when I read that, I thought, they can't go to the bathroom? Is that what it means? I mean, you know. But that means that they are out of control. They do not have control or the means to control their wicked thoughts and their desires. They have no self-restraint whatsoever. None. They can't help but sin. They can't control themselves because they refuse to give God control. Satan just lets them do whatever they do. Fierce means angry, violent, hostile. Despisers of those that are good. Listen, the Bible said over in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do it. Wow, that's what fierceness is. Heady, meaning they're stubborn, they're violent. High-minded, meaning they're the only ones that have the knowledge or wisdom to do something, okay? Nobody else knows as much as what they do. Having a form of godliness. They're religious, but they're lost, folks. And then the command is given to stay away from them. Listen, they deny the power of God. They deny everything. Listen, I can't get into all this today, but next Sunday we're going to show you their deeds. You look at this passage of Scripture, and you see what's going on, what Paul is warning Timothy about. Folks, we are seeing it happen today in our lives and more publicly than ever before. How close must we be to the Lord Jesus coming back? That's why we need to stand faithful in truth and against apostasy. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you. Lord, thank you for this lesson today. I pray, God, that you'll use it to help us to stay close to you in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to identify ourselves with you and not with the world so that we might win those that are lost and still in sin. Bless our pastor today. It's so good to have him back. I pray, God, that you'll bless Brother Hamlin as he stands to preach for us. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. God bless you. We love you. Pastor.